So here we go. I'm just going to get right into it. So we've been doing a series called Heart of Gold, and that's what we're doing is walking through some scripture that God has in the Word that relate to gold, have something to do, something to say about gold one way or another. And gold is, we know, the most valuable metal on earth. God covered most of the articles in the Holy of Holies, the temple and the tabernacle, with gold. Either they're completely made of gold or they're covered in gold. And it's valuable. And you know how we said only things of value get stolen? Of course, the gold in the temple was stolen. The tabernacle gold was stolen at different times. And I was reading about a Wells Fargo stagecoaches of the 1800s. And I just want to share a little bit. They carried green treasure boxes, or what became known as the green box. And it's just a little 20-inch by 12-inch by 10-inch pine and oak box with metal reinforcements. They would keep it under the seat of the drivers on the stagecoach. There'd be a driver, and it would be filled with gold coins, gold bars, gold dust, and stock certificates, cash, different things of value. And it would hold about 100, this box would typically hold between 100 and 150 pounds of value. And the idea was it was a maximum weight for a man to carry on his shoulder. And so, because there's things of value, and things of value like to get stolen, they hired heavily armed men to ride next to the driver. So it'd be a driver and an armed guard. And among the weapons they carried sawed-off shotguns, which is where we get the term riding shotgun. That's where that comes from. And so they would ride shotgun, and a couple of the most famous shotgun riders was brothers Morgan and Wyatt Earp, who worked for Wells Fargo in the late 1800s in the Arizona Territory. So we're just talking about gold, which is things of value that God's word defines. And today, the scripture isn't about the value of gold, but about the process of refining gold. So I want to talk about that, and we're going to look at Proverbs 27:21, and it says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives." So I'm calling this message Purified by Praise, because God has a lot to say about how we receive a compliment. But I want to pray. We just commit this time to you, Lord. Let's just pray. Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the significance that it is toward us today, how it's timeless. And I just pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, and for the life that you want to give us by your living word. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. I don't know, I just want to wait on the Lord for a second here. So it's just good to be back. It's good to go visit family, and it's good to be back with family. So as Tony said, we're here because we love Jesus. And because he's changed our lives. And he speaks over us life. He gave his life for us. So, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Lord be glorified. So it all starts by a life lived well according to God's word. According to God's design, to receive praise starts by living a praiseworthy life, which is my first point. Live a life that's praiseworthy. This is where it begins, where it starts, by living a life that people admire. There's something to say, something to show based on an admirable life. And it's not, we don't live praiseworthy lives to be seen by people. of course. That's a terrible motivation. The scripture talks about that. Don't do your good deeds before men to be seen by men, but before the Lord in secret. But it also says to do your good works before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's a walk of the Spirit. The motivation is the issue. We don't do it to get praised, but we live lives that naturally bring out the desire to want to say, way to go, good job. But the praise of man is a terrible motivation. I learned a wise saying, you can't live for the compliments or you'll die by the criticism, right? If you're living to hear the attaboys from people, when the "that was a lousy job" comes, you're going to be destroyed. So we don't live for the attaboys from people, but we live to please God, and we're called to live admirable lives because we're made in God's image, and He does praiseworthy deeds all the time, right? From generation to generation, the scripture talks about proclaiming the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, and if we're in God's image, then we should be doing that as well. We're doing praiseworthy things. Philippians 4:8, just paraphrase here, says whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, says think about such things. Think about these things. And the scripture says, as you think in your heart, so you are. As they think in their heart, so they are. This is, we ponder on these things and we become these things in to some degree. So I just want to say this is I'm praying about this message and this passage regarding gold, about being tested by the praises we receive. It's so important to go according to God's word, right? To live by God's word, not by the culture, the trends or the fads that come and go. We live in a day when good is evil and evil is good. Crazy is sane and sane is mocked. And I don't like preaching on Black Lives Matter or critical race theory and all that, but we need to be wise and be aware of what's being promoted in our schools and in our society and in the culture. Because we know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that one day his four children would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And that's completely flipped upside down by this philosophy that's coming in, because BLM and CRT teach that if you're white, you're racist, and if you're black, you're not going to succeed. You can't succeed on your own. Both are lies from the devil, and we're to be aware of that and be alert, because the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to destroy the one human race. There aren't a bunch of human races. There's one human race that God gave his life for. And God always places character above nationality or skin color. Our behaviors are far more important than what we look like. Right? What's on the inside is far more important than what's on the outside. The outside changes, and there's so many things on the outside we have no ability to change. There's no way we can change. But the inside is changeable, and we grow in character before God, and everyone can do that. Everyone can do that. God is the God of the nations. He says, go make disciples of all nations, because he wants them all to know his love and all to be saved. Psalm 34:14 says, and he calls all people to turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And every person of every skin color can do that. We're all capable of doing that, to turn from evil and do good. So live a life that's praiseworthy. And I want to say that the desire to do that, to be thought well of, is a good thing. It's not a selfish thing to have that in us, to want to live a life that's praiseworthy, that's worthy of being commended, to be affirmed, to be congratulated. We went to South Dakota to congratulate a nephew for graduating high school, the last of our young nieces and nephews, at least on my wife's side. So it was just a fun thing to get together and say, way to go, good job. And that was a good thing. In the Olympics, there's gold, silver, and bronze. As far as I know, there's no tin medal. There's no aluminum medals. No one's like, yes, I got tin. I made it. It's 87th place, going through all the medal forms. It's like, we strive for the gold, right? And it's not selfish. It's not wrong. It's a good thing. It's in us to want to excel and achieve and accomplish. It's a good thing. Several times the disciples argued about who would be the greatest. I mean, in the most inopportune times, Jesus just was transfigured on the mount, and the disciples were arguing on the way down, who's going to be the greatest? They just saw Jesus illuminated beyond this earth with Moses and Elijah, and they're talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And then even James and John's mother came to Jesus and said, hey, I want you to make my sons, you know, sit at your left and your right in your kingdom. And I mean, Jesus just talked about how he's going to be crucified, and they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And every one of those times, Jesus didn't rebuke them for that desire to want to be great. He gave them ideas and guidelines. And if you want to be great, learn to be the servant of all. Learn to be like a little child. You know, don't lord it over like the heathen do, like the Romans do, but serve, be the servant. So he didn't say, you self-centered and selfish, ambitious, you know, worm, you. It's like, no, he said, well, that's a good thing. Whoever wants to be an overseer desires a good thing. It's a noble thing to want to be an overseer. So he didn't rebuke them. He showed them how there's certain ways to go about that. And I want to say, God put that desire in your hearts. He put the desire in your hearts to be great, to do great things, to be exceptional, to exceed and excel and succeed. And those are from God. That desire is from God. We're the only human race that has perfectly fine house and we go live out in the woods in a tent. You know, we do hard things. We walk across tightropes. No one's making us walk across a tightrope over a canyon, but we just have it in us to want to do that. We climb mountains. You're perfectly fine right here at the bottom of the mountain, but you have to get up there in that mountain. You know, the weather is what it is, and the elements are what they are, and we just have it in us to want to do these things. And God put that there. And so it's not a wrong. I just want to state that. It's not wrong. In Romans 2:7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. And that's, I remember first reading that. It's like, wow, that's really selfish to want to seek glory and seek honor. But God sees this in a way that he put it there. He wants you to be in the newspaper for good reasons. He wants you to have trophies. He wants you to, you know, accomplish things, big things, great things. But he says there's a certain way to go about it. Here's how we go about that. And second point, let your praise come from others. Right? Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. You know, self-serve is good when you're pumping your gas up, but it's bad when you're pumping yourself up. It's really unattractive when you got to tell people how great you are. There's a difference between saying, I can do this, encouraging yourself, saying, I can do this, I can do this, versus saying, I'm the man, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. And so there's a difference. And, I'm old, I guess, but this whole this selfie culture, this whole taking pictures of yourself, Here's me by the fountain. Here's me by the bush. Here's me by the tree. Here's me by my dishwasher. Here's me by my breakfast. Here's me by my lunch. And by. So, sorry if that hurt, but I think... I just think there's something really unhealthy about that. And it the scripture talks about that. It feeds, doesn't talk about selfies, but it talks about feeding an ungodly love of self, right? In the last days, it says people will become what? Lovers of themselves. Boastful, proud, abusive, ungrateful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah. There's something really unhealthy that you got to take a bunch of pictures of yourself and post it all over. Again, I'm old, but I think it's unhealthy. It's like, it's a counterfeit. I'll just say it's a counterfeit. It's like fool's gold. It looks good. It looks shiny. Looks valuable to say how great you are, to bring yourself accolades. Look how beautiful I am. Look how beautiful I am over here. Look how beautiful I am over there. In a house with a mouse, in a box with a fox. I'm beautiful here, I'm beautiful there, I'm beautiful everywhere. Yeah, way to go. Any Dr. Seuss fans? Yes. Love that author. But it's worthless. It looks like it's of value, but self-love in that way, and only the Lord knows the motive of the heart, right? We don't know everyone's motives. But it's worthless. It looks like it's good. It looks genuine, but praise should come from others. Compliments should come from someone else, not from your own lips. It's really unattractive. But what is attractive is humility. Humility is very attractive. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. It's a good thing to be humble and to let others do the honoring. So you are beautiful. I will just say, you're beautiful, not because you say so, but because God says so. Because you're made in the image of God. You are smart. You are capable. Not because you have a lot of pictures of yourself on Facebook. Because the days will come when you won't feel very beautiful. The days will come when you feel like, man, I'm ugly. Man, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever enough. Man, my house isn't this or my car isn't that. And the day will come when the devil will get the temptation to compare yourself to others. And you won't feel so beautiful anymore for a while. Does that mean you're not beautiful anymore? No. Nothing changed. You're made in the image of God. You're created. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are one of a kind. You're unique in every way. And you have a special call that's unique to you that nobody else can fulfill. And you're part of a big thing that God is doing on the earth, and that only you can fulfill that part that God wants fulfilled in His plan, for His purposes. And it's a wonderful thing. We don't decide our own worth. It's spoken over us by someone else. Someone else who knows better, who sees better, who has perfect wisdom. Perfect perspective. We don't determine truth, we reflect it. We reflect it because you won't always be the fine physical specimen that you are right now. I'm just warning you. I'm just sorry to burst the bubble. Pop. But you won't always, you know, that six-pack as glorious as it is now might not be there in the future. And you're still beautiful. You're still amazing. And you are what you are because God says so. And you're a lot more than just a pretty face, you're a lot more than just a rugged, handsome face. Okay? You're a lot more than what's on the outside. Because we talk about body, soul, and spirit. The body gets to its prime and then it's diminishing. Doesn't matter how much exercise you do, it'll diminish. The spirit is either dead or alive in Christ. There's no variation on that. You're either alive in Christ or you're dead in sin. And that's why we celebrate water baptisms, because they're exciting to see. Somebody came alive in Christ. And that's like a light switch. It's either on or off. But your soul is a, that can grow in character and healing and a lot of things. All your whole life, your soul can get more and more rich and healed and beautiful and wonderful. So your body decreases, your spirit is on or off, and your soul can grow and become ever more like Christ is the goal. So God decides that you're beautiful way beyond what your outward appearance is. That changes. But you're an ambassador. He calls you a lot more than just a pretty face. He says, you're my ambassador. I have chosen you to represent me, the eternal God, to the earth, to the world, to your realm of influence. That's a huge value, huge responsibility. And you need to hear from God how to do that. But he entrusts his reputation to you to share about him wherever you go. He chose to represent himself through you and only through people. It's a great, that should speak honor over your life, if anything else. And he prepares a place for you. He has gone to prepare a place for you. He's been working on it for a couple thousand years now. When I was a kid, my parents bought two gerbils for us, and they bought a bunch of equipment just to set up a place for the gerbils. They went through a lot of effort for those gerbils that lasted maybe a year or two. Jesus has been working on your place for 2,000 years. You are worth far more than several gerbils. Let that sink in. Tell the person next to you, you are worth way more than two gerbils. Even three or four. Because Jesus has spent a lot of time and effort to prepare a place for you. So how we feel about ourselves could change with the weather, right? And that's why we need to go with what God says. Yeah. We trust what God says because he doesn't change. His perspective doesn't change. He says, you are amazing, and I love you, and I gave my life for you. And I want you to be with me forever. So let your praise come from others. And I just want to caution you. In that, obviously, there's all kinds of other side of the coin. Jesus didn't, he was cautious about how he received praise from people. Okay, he was, said he didn't even really regard the opinion of man. Because he knows what's in us. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, to his Father. He is living for the praise of his Father. And he received the praise of man. But, you know, just saying that, a caution. People can tell you how great you are, but we want to listen to what God says.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we all see in part. We only see a little bit. God sees perfectly. So live a praiseworthy life and let others commend you. And the last point, let praise purify your character. And this is, I want to read what we read in the first verse. Let, like the furnace for gold, a man is tested by the praise he receives. What does that mean? It's like a furnace to gold is, praise is to us. The heat of the furnace burns the impurities out of the gold, making it more valuable. But it separates impurities from the gold. And then that gets skimmed off. Compliments, ideally, burn the impurities out of our character. And some, what are some impurities? One, over-inflated pride. We can say, hey, that was a good game. Yeah, man, I hit it out of the park. Man, I was great. Man, I did this. Wasn't I the best? And, of course, none of you would say that. I know that. But Then there's over spiritual. Man, good game. Oh, it was all God. It was all God. It wasn't me. It was just God. Or the overly critical. Hey, good game. Yeah, but I blew it here and I blew it there and I just failed here and failed there. And we just like downplay it. All these responses reveal some impurities in our character that need to be burned out, that God wants to burn out. So the pride, overinflated pride, wasn't I great? Romans 12:3 says, do not think, and it's not up here, but don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In the context of that, we know that verse, don't think too much of yourself. The context of that verse is talking about the body of Christ, about all the different parts, all the different members, one body, many parts, and the idea that the foot can't say, I'm more important than the ear, or the mouth can't say, I'm more important than the hand, or the elbow can say, I'm more important than the knee. It's every part is different. We all have a different role, different function, different part to play that combined do amazing things. They're designed to be together. So don't think more highly of yourself. Just thrive in the part that you are. Thrive in who you are. Be the best you that you can be before God, connected with other members of the body. And that's where glorious things happen. So don't celebrate too much that, yeah, you might have won the winning run or you might have done this. It's like, but you couldn't have done that without all the other parts that helped set you up for that moment or that achievement. And I know I'm speaking, you guys know this. But the overly spiritual, oh, it was all God. Imagine a pro golfer that gets a hole in one and says, man, that was all God. It's like, I would say, no, I think God could get a hole in one on all 18 holes if he wanted to. I think he'd get a hole in one on a par five if he wanted to. But that was a really skillful shot. And the idea is God wants to work in us and through us and us in him. We are in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's neither all us or all God. That's the whole, there's a huge message of the Bible, is Jesus came to be a human and have God work through him to do amazing things just like you and I can do. God in you, the hope of glory. Moses without God was a murderer. Moses with God was a deliverer. Right? And not to be sacrilegious or to be careful, but God didn't move ahead without Moses. In a way, God couldn't deliver Israel without going through a man, without going through people. And not that he couldn't, but that's how he designed life to be. He doesn't go it alone. Jesus himself said, by myself, of myself, I can do nothing. But he, with his Father, did a whole bunch. And then Jesus said, I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah, that's right. But abiding in him, you with him, you can do a whole lot. And it's always a combination of us with him. And he loves to do great things. He loves to do great things and invite you in to what he's doing. And I said it's like a dad who is carrying the heavy piece of furniture and the little toddler's got his hand on it, walking along, helping dad. Help, I'm helping my dad. And the dad is thrilled to let him have that thought. That we're helping God. And it's a wonderful thing that God invites us in to do these supernatural, impossible things through him. So, and then the overly critical of ourselves, which I think we probably are all most guilty of this one. Good game, yeah, but I blew it here and blew it there. I did this wrong, did that wrong, but it was good. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. And it seems like a humble thing to minimize a compliment, to downplay it, but it's basically taking that compliment, crumbling it up, and throwing it away. It's like, way to go, good job, thank you. Because I could have been better. And we're robbing that person of giving that compliment. We're saying that wasn't a good one, that wasn't deserved, and we don't want to do that. We want to acknowledge that we all are imperfect. We all can grow, but it's good to encourage one another and build each other up. And in all these things, the best response is simply to say, thank you. Let's say it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you can talk about other things, but just receive it. Just receive it. Don't diminish it. Don't throw it away. And don't let it go to your big head. There's just a balance in there. Receive it with a grateful heart, because we're all tested by the praise we receive. I believe that Scripture is there for a reason, that it does test us, because God wants to get some things worked out of our souls so that we can say thank you and know that God speaks over us value. We are valuable to God. We are worth His time. So when your life is over, when you've passed from this life and are standing on the streets of gold before the Maker of heaven and earth, the most valuable praise you could ever receive is to look into the loving eyes of your Lord and Savior and hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with small things. I'm going to give you much. Enter into the joy of your master. It really doesn't get any better than that kind of praise. So be faithful in little things. Because that's what he says. Well done, good. Doesn't even have to say well done, great and awesome. Well done, good and faithful. You stuck it out. You hung in there. And you were faithful in little things, in small things. So continue to be faithful in small things and guard them carefully. In other words, ride shotgun over what's valuable to God, over what He says is valuable in your life. Be alert to the robbers that want to steal joy, steal life, steal peace, steal what God values. Keep pride away, keep selfish ambition away, low self-esteem or comparing yourself to others. That's the shortest path to depression, is to compare yourself to others. Because we all are part of the whole story. Everyone's part is vital. God is the great weaver of lives. He takes different colors, different gifts, different people, and weaves them together to make His tapestry that's beautiful and amazing, wonderful to behold. So we're all treasured by God, and He says we are worth His Son's life. So I know there's a lot of pain and depression in this last year and a half, and I just want to speak life and hope over people that you are worth far more than you know. You are far more valuable, and especially to young people that I just want to say, it looks like this world is pretty much in need of repair. But as you know God's word and know the value that God sees in you, hold on to that. Investigate that. Get to know that. Get to know what God's opinion is of you. Get to know the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of a glorious future, a wonderful future in this life, not just the next, but in this life. God is over it all and in it all, and he's got life for us all. So live a life that's praiseworthy and be a good steward of the life God has given you. Let's just stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We just pray that you would help refine us, God. Refine us by your word. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your word. Help us to pass the tests, Lord, as we receive praise with the right heart in a right way, according to your word. And Father, help us to understand and to see a little bit of how you see us, to know and to camp on that, to camp on your opinion, your declarations over us, that you sing over us, you delight in us, you rescue us because you delight in us, you love us. And regardless of how things go in this life, Lord, we know that your word and your opinion is what matters most. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one, Lord, with a refreshing revelation of the great effort you made to show us that you love us and the plans that you have for us. Lord, that you came to give us life abundantly, to give us resurrection life, to give us eternal life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can learn from gold. And I ask you to bless this week, bless the bake sale, bless the baptisms, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. There'll be people here.